are victorious. No matter what we're going through, no matter what's happening in our lives, no matter how difficult the pain might be, God, you are victorious. And I just want to lift up Pastor Phil for the message. Just pray that you would speak through him and that you would open our hearts to what you have to say through him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, middle school band. Very special. Thank you, Pastor Keith, for leading worship today. Thank you to Pastor Gerald and Pastor Jeff for speaking the last couple of weeks. And I know we're blessed, and thank you. Thank you for praying for my wife and I. We had a little time away and appreciated your prayers and encouragement. And we were suffering for Jesus in Southern California in the 70s. And it was nice to get away and be warm for a little bit. And it's also very, very special to be back in town to be with all of you. So please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 11. Our theme this year is Find Us Faithful, that we are part of a large, large throng of Christ followers. And so since January, we've been looking at those that have gone before us, the people of faith. And I pray and I hope that in the next 4 weeks, as we talk about some church history, and if you're here today and you say, I don't like history, I want to tell you, please come anyway, because what we're going to learn is about lives of men and women who have given their lives up for Jesus. And if you've never been in a church before that has studied church history, I invite you to tell your friends to come. Because they're going to learn that Christianity is so much bigger than just me and so much bigger than just our church. I appreciated what Keith said at the beginning, that there are tribes and nations and peoples all over the world that are worshiping Jesus today. And so Hebrews 11, today we're going to learn about the persecution of faith. One of my concerns with this message is if you're a non-Christian here today and you're checking out Christianity, you go, oh, man, I want to learn about how Jesus is going to help me have a better life. And so you come and hear Pastor Phil talk about persecution and you're going, man, I'm not sure I want that. And here's the question I'm going to have you meditate on as I give this message. If people were willing to lay down their lives for Jesus, maybe there's something about following Jesus. Maybe it's worth something. If when people are facing death and they still choose Jesus, maybe it's something worth considering for your life. So stand with me as you read Hebrews 11, 35 through 40. Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 35, women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Father in heaven, I know that you are above time. And so you see the lives of those in the past as clearly as you see our lives and as clearly as you see the lives in the future. And we are so bound by things of this world. We are so bound by our comfort. Would you open our eyes and help us see that the journey of faith is worth giving our lives for? In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to do some research on the persecuted church around the world, you might get on a website called Voices of the Martyrs or persecution.com. This is a slideshow that comes from that website. Let me just give you a couple of statistics right now as we begin this morning. If you look at the Voice of the Martyrs website, you understand that God indeed calls us to a path where we will be persecuted if we follow Jesus. Next slide, please. In Iran, as persecution increases in Iran, many pastors are fleeing for their lives. The pastors often receive death threats saying they must deny Christ or be killed. Pray for Christians' safety throughout Iran. Pakistan, the blasphemy law condemns blasphemy against any religion, but is only applied to Islam. Muslims often use this blasphemy law to imprison or threaten Christians. Pray for Pakistani leadership to change those laws. Colombia, many FARC guerrillas have never heard the gospel. Christians are risking their lives to spread the gospel in those controlled areas. Pray for the guerrillas would hear and understand God's word. North Korea, oppressive, isolated North Korea is one of the most worst persecutors of Christians in the world. Ask God to protect North Korea Christians while giving them the strength to endure. In Egypt, amidst the upheaval of protests and violence, Egyptian Christians still have limited rights to worship. They are threatened and churches are often destroyed. Pray for God's protection over them. Indonesia, 30 churches in Indonesia have been burned or closed in 2011. Pastors have faced arrest, false charges. Pray church congregations in Indonesia remain strong despite the ongoing persecution. Pakistan, Asiya Bibi, a wife and mother, sits in prison, sentenced to death for blasphemy against the Prophet Muhammad. She has appealed the verdict. Pray for her and her family. January 2010, Imran, won't say his name, was sentenced to life in prison, fined 100,000 rupees. For allegedly burning pages of the Quran. Pray for him that he said he was using time in prison to study God's word. Iran, here's a Pastor Yusuf. You need to pray for him. He's facing a tough sentence. The Voice of the Martyrs Bibles Unbound program continues to send Bibles to Christians that need them. Pray that they'll receive the word of God. Jesus said these words in Matthew 16:18. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. From that scripture we know three things. Christ will have a church. There will be opposition. And the church will prevail. If you are calling yourself a Christ follower, you have connected with Jesus. You've identified with Jesus. You've heard the claims of Christ. You've fallen in love with him, for he has given his life for you. And then you hear the words of Jesus, that because of Jesus, John 15:20, if they persecuted me, they're also going to persecute you. 1 Peter 4, rejoice in as far as you share the Christ's sufferings. One pastor went and visited a persecuted church, underground church, and he was expecting a depressed, discouraged, weeping church. And he found them jumping for joy and rejoicing. And the message they gave back to this pastor that was visiting from America, tell them that we are rejoicing.
Yes, praise the Lord.
We have the privilege of suffering for Jesus. Matthew 5 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. 2 Timothy 3:12. All who desire to live godly, a godly life in Christ Jesus, will be persecuted. And so we deal with this truth found in Hebrews 11. That when you take a step of faith and you say, I'm going to give my life to Christ, that there's going to be a response to the world. And I've shared this with you before, but please get the visual picture. That when God created this world, it was upside right. And sin caused this world to be upside down. And you come to Christ and you're put upside right. And now you, upside right, live in an upside down world. And the world will not like it. So what will you see? Well, you're going to see possibly some emotional pain.
For us in America, we don't face maybe a sword or death, but this could be very real in your situation, maybe at work or in your family when you take a stand for Christ. Two words that jump out that describe this is the word mocking in verse 36. Jeremiah 20, verse 7, the prophet Jeremiah said this, "I have become a laughingstock all the day." I don't know if you've ever felt like when you spoke up about Jesus or you spoke up about God's word, that people would laugh at you. Jude 18, in the last days, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. And the word scoffer there means that the word of God will be looked down upon and ridiculed. The second word in this passage that talks about emotional pain is the word mistreated, verse 37. In 2 Chronicles 36, 16, it says that they will keep mocking the messengers of God and despising his words and scoffing at his prophets. And so we find that Paul, when he took a stand for Christ, that the Jewish community turned against him. And they even followed him from town to town to try to get after him and to hurt him. And they wanted him to be arrested and to be killed. And so hear from the Apostle Paul these words, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. That I may know him. And that I might share in his sufferings. If you're a Christ follower, the one that was mocked on the cross, the one that was ridiculed on the cross, when you identify with Jesus, you identify with his sufferings, and that mocking, that ridicule will come your way as well. If you take a strong stand, if you are bold in Christ. People who follow Jesus, even in America, people who follow Jesus are called simple minded. People who follow Jesus and believe the Bible is God's word are called ignorant. People who follow Jesus, believe the Bible is God's word and seek to obey it, are called fanatics or even dangerous. But read the next slide with me out loud. But I still choose to follow Jesus. Could you say that again with me? But I still choose to follow Jesus. You've got to figure that out. If Christianity to you is just a place of comfort, you don't understand the big picture of Christianity. It could also mean not only emotional pain, it could also mean financial loss. The word found in verse 37 is the word destitute. Also in verse 37, in skins of sheep and goats. Now, this is not a fashion statement when he describes Christians in skins of sheep and goats. Like, hey, John the Baptist, you're looking good. You know, that's not what he's talking about here. My wife and I were on vacation, you know, we're driving down to L.A. And so I'll see a golf course and I go, golf course, let's stop. And she'll see Goodwill store, let's stop. You know, my wife loves Goodwill shopping. And somehow our clothing speaks maybe about where we're at financially. And so some that are standing up for Christ, they're leaving their homes. They're leaving their closets full of stuff. They're leaving to escape with their lives. There are some in America here. You have faced it where if you take a stand about honesty and integrity at the place of work and your boss or your company says, well, we don't do it that way. We want you to do this sideways thing. And you as a Christ follower say, no, I'm not doing that. Well, then you're going to have this pink slip and we don't want you around here. Maybe you just with some workers. I was in an aluminum foundry in college, and I believed that they were going to pay me for working. So I actually worked. And I was so naive. And so during the break, there was a gathering of people around me and they said, you don't understand. If you work that much, it's going to put pressure on us to work that much. And that's not what we do. So would you please slow down? And I thought, OK, interesting. And the pressures at work, if you do things according to God's word, can mount and they can get very ugly. The third area of persecution you might see is homelessness. Now, there's many causes of homelessness. And we should always have compassion. But what's zeroed in on in Hebrews 11 are those people that are homeless because of their stand for Christ. They wandered about in deserts, it says in verse 38, and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. They can't find safety in a normal neighborhood. They're looking for a place of safety, and so they're hiding. One of the things we did in Southern California is we went to Dana Point, and one of the fun things in Southern California there at Dana Point is that you go up the shoreline, and there's a whole bunch of caves, and you can explore the caves, especially when the tide is out. If the tide's in, it's not a very safe place. And so here's some pictures of us exploring those caves. My wife is so bold and going into deep, deep crevices of the mountain. And that's me on the edge of the cave because I like being outside there more. She's a lot braver than I am, maybe. It also mentions in verse 36 that they would be in chains and imprisonment. In 1 Kings 18, it says that there are 100 prophets that hid in caves in order to stay safe. And maybe they've lost their homes because they are in prison, verse 36. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10, it says, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. So here's the takeaway here. At the moment, maybe you're not homeless. But what you see in Christianity is that your life does not consist of the things that you possess. That even if all of your things were taken away, and even if your house was taken away because of your stand for Christ, you would still, here's God's view of you, you possess everything. Everything of value. Everything that really matters. We don't understand the tension of this. Haddon Robinson wrote about his trip to a third world country where there's a lot of persecution. And before he left, he wanted to be real clear with this person he'd been reaching out to and shared the gospel very clearly. He said, man, I'm leaving tomorrow and I want you to make a decision to follow Christ. You know, and he's kind of, you know, wants to drive home the deal before he leaves. And this is the answer of this man. Quote, you don't know what you're asking me. Do you know what would happen if I did that? If I announced it to anybody, my wife would leave me. My family would disown me. My boss would fire me. I may want to leave to go back to the United States and the government would not give me an exit visa. I'd give up everything to accept Christ. You go back tomorrow. I would not. There are people that when they take a step of faith and they accept Christ, there's a huge cost. 100,000 Iraqi Christians right now left Iraq and they have taken their refuge in Syria. 100,000 of them. The revolt in Syria right now, unfortunately, has turned against the Christians. They see them as a minority power that might give them trouble in the future. So this last month, 100 Christians have been killed in Syria. Half the Christian community in Iraq are living in the ghettos of Damascus, Lebanon, and Jordan. There are refugees that live in tents in southern Sudan, Somalia, and many other countries. There are 50 nations in the world right now where it's illegal to practice Christianity. So sometimes it even leads to physical pain. It uses the word tortured in verse 35. If you are a music person, please do not be offended with this illustration. But we get our English word for a drum, a timpani drum, or the kettle drum. We get our English word from this word, tortured. What it means is to be stretched out and then beat down. And so try to imagine that big drum and try to imagine a person's body being stretched out and then beat down with clubs. Flogging is found in verse 36, the word scourging. In Jeremiah 20, it says that they beat Jeremiah and they put him in stocks. And we know that Jesus was scourged, and we know that many of the early Christians were scourged. It means that they were whipped with usually multi-ended whips that had pieces of glass or rock or stone tied to the ends. Hebrews 13:3 says, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. So if you are upset with what I'm talking about this morning, please remember, we're talking about the body of Christ. And if you're part of the body of Christ, You cannot ignore if somebody's beating on your hand. You can't ignore that. If somebody's stomping on your foot, you can't ignore that. If somebody's slapping you in the face, you cannot ignore that. You are part of the body of Christ. And if somewhere the body of Christ is being beat up, we should care. When we visited the church in Turkey a few years ago, I was so blessed to hear this testimony of one of the ladies that came. She lived in a town a good 8 hours away, and she would take the bus every Friday so she could be part of the church fellowship during the weekend. And I heard her story that during the week when she was with her non-Christian husband who did not like her Christianity, she was beat up all week. Then get on the bus on Friday and come be with the church all weekend. And knowing when she left on Monday morning, she was going back to a husband that would beat her up. Somewhere along the line, in my thinking, I go, I'm not sure this Christian thing is working for me, you know. And yet this woman was so full of the joy of the Lord. The Iranian Christians, and we're going to take communion in a few minutes. When the Iranian Christians take communion together, they call it the Last Supper. Because they know it could be their last meal together. In fact, 8 of them were arrested February 8, 2012, and put in prison. A Chinese communist officer was telling a Christian that he was beating up. I am almighty, as you suppose your God to be. I can kill you. And the Christian answered, hey, the power's all on my side. I can love you while you torture me to death. There's a perspective that we need to grab onto. And yes, I need to give you the fifth one that it can happen, and that is death. It says in verse 37, they'll be stoned by faith. They're taking this step of faith and they're saying, God, even if the stones come at me, Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 37, that they would stone those who are sent to it. They stoned Stephen. They stoned Paul, it says in Acts 14, 19. They stoned Zechariah in 2 Chronicles 24, 21. You might know the story of Jim Elliot that in 1956 he was speared by headhunters in Ecuador because of his stand for Christ. And you might know this quote, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep. That's your life. It's not foolish to give your life. You can't keep your life anyway. To gain what you cannot lose, and that is an eternal relationship with Christ. That's not a foolish trade. Hey, take the physical. It's okay. It's temporary. It's wearing out. In fact, it's wearing out fast, you know. I'll take the eternal anytime. In Mexico, there was an older couple that had given 30 years to ministry. 67-year-old Wanda, 76-year-old John, husband and wife, serving Christ for 3 decades in Mexico, and they were murdered just a few weeks ago. In verse 37, it says that some would be sawn in two. It's not a magic show, by the way, where you get put back together again. It's probably referring to Isaiah. Isaiah, the tradition of the prophet Isaiah was that he was cut in two. But it kind of states it like it could have happened to many more than just Isaiah. It uses the word sword in verse 37. 1 Kings 19:10, that they're going to kill the prophets with the sword. Revelation 12:11, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Man, I am going to love Christ even if it costs me my life. That's what a Christ follower should say. So let me give you just kind of a summary here for a moment. If the price tag for following Jesus was emotional pain or financial loss or homelessness or physical pain or death, would you still follow Jesus? Okay, let me ask you again. If the price tag for following Jesus was emotional pain, financial loss, homelessness, physical pain, or death, would you still follow Jesus?
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
See, so often we don't understand the price tag. We've changed the price tag so that following Jesus is like, you know, it's like pocket change. It's like, you know, sure, I can do that. That's not the way the rest of the world looks at following Jesus. Following Jesus for the rest of the world has a huge price tag, but Jesus is worth it. Now, where was their strength? When these people, by faith, took this kind of a step, where was their strength? I mean, how do you pull it off? I mean, you might be sitting here today going, man, I don't know if I could do that. Okay, let me give you how they did it. Number one, some saw miracle deliverances. Some saw miracle deliverances. It says in verse 35, some saw the dead get raised. I mean, the implication is that they were maybe persecuted in some way to death, and then the dead came back to life. Okay, you got to hang your head on this verse, Daniel 3:17. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. Okay, so no matter what you face, maybe God's plan will be to give you a miraculous deliverance, even being raised from the dead. So let me give you a story of that. Ms. Hong Miaho was given 5 years in Chinese prison. And so he gets to prison and he's saying, man, this is a great opportunity to preach. And so he's preaching all over the prison. And so they give him another 10 years because he's preaching in prison, which didn't make any sense because that's what he wanted to do, is to preach in prison some more. But things got really bad and they had a terrible winter. And there's 1300 prisoners in this prison place. And 1000 of them died because of the cold and because of the disease. Can you imagine being in a prison with 1300 people and 1000 of them die? And he is pronounced dead. And he is taken to the morgue. And he sees an angel that's hovering over him, glorious and white and beautiful, and blows breath upon his body.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And he is healed and he stands up. And the doctor sees him stand up. That had pronounced him dead. And the doctor falls on his knees and comes to Christ. You can't. That's found in a book called Jesus Freaks, page 216, if you want to get the research on it. It could be another miracle. Soldiers were talking to a father who was a Christ follower. And they told him to kneel to get ready to be executed. And as he's kneeling and praying, he feels the hand of his wife on his right side. And she has chosen to kneel next to him. And then he feels his son's hand on his left, who has chosen to kneel on his left side. And as the three of them are waiting for execution, they pray, committing their lives to Christ. And it grows quiet. And they open their eyes, and all the soldiers are gone. No explanation, no reason. All they knew is they had guns to their heads. And then as they're praying, the soldiers are gone. I want to tell you that when you take a step of faith and you say, I will follow Christ no matter what, there can be miraculous deliverances. You might think you're going to lose your job. And then all of a sudden there's a change of heart and there's a miracle. Or maybe you're given a better job than you ever possibly imagined. Or maybe you think that there's no solution to this problem. Maybe the opposition, emotional pain is so difficult. You don't think your husband or your wife will ever understand Christianity. And yet you follow Christ and God does a miracle in their hearts and brings them to Jesus. Now, they have one thing in common. Number two, where was their strength? All of them had faith. Not one that's described here is one that does not have faith. It says in verse 35 that their faith was that they might rise again to a better life. So their faith is not in their circumstances, and their faith is not in being comfortable, and their faith is not in having everybody like them. Their faith is in Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they are focusing on his promise of eternal life. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, even though you die, you will live. So 1 Peter 1:4, every Christ follower believes this. We have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It is kept in heaven for you. You don't have to be afraid of death. In fact, it's actually trading up. I don't know if you understand this. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Okay? So you do something to my physical body, you know, guess what? I just traded up. I'm in a much better place. Matthew 5:12. Rejoice, be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. It does not say rejoice and God will just make everybody like you and you'll have a nice, easy life. It says rejoice when you're being persecuted. Be glad because your reward is where? It's in heaven. Okay. So you have a different focus. You have a different value system as a Christ follower. And it's real. It's real. This is not just people that are dying and being persecuted and for no reason. I mean, the reality of Christ is so real to them. Here, let me share a story with you of Thomas Hawker. He's facing the death at the stake. He's going to be burned alive. And so his friends and family get around him and they go, "Man, Thomas, are you sure you want to do this? I mean, all you have to do is recant and you're going to be okay, you know. And is Jesus really what you're willing to give your life for? Is God really on your side? Or are you some kind of fanatic or, you know, delusional about this?" And so they come to Thomas and they say, "Thomas, would you do us a favor? When you're burning on that stake, if God is who he said he was to you, and if God is real, and if God has promised to help you, and he's helping you, and you're not thinking of the pain of suffering, but you're thinking, if God miraculously is there with you in the fire, would you please give us a clue? Would you lift your hands up in the fire so we won't know?" So they tie him to the stake and the fire is going and the flames are going up his body. And he's just motionless. And they're going, "Yeah, we didn't think it was real. We're not going to do that." I mean, he was delusional. And he's motionless, and his body's on fire. And then he lifts his arms.
"Yes, Lord, thank you."
But he's not done yet. His arms are on fire, and he begins to clap. All the crowd breaks into a standing ovation. They're shouting, they're praising, they're clapping. And the soldiers have no clue what happened. But there was an affirmation of power and the reality of the presence of Jesus. You might think today, "Man, I can never do that." You know, you're not there yet. When you're there, God will give you the power. Some of you old timers here today, and I mean old timers meaning people that are older than me. Well, remember the movie of Ben-Hur. And Charlton Heston was asked to drive a chariot. He'd never driven a chariot before. And they thought about having a double and everything. No, they're going to have too many close-ups. And in those days, they didn't know photography well enough to really pull it off. "You're going to have to do this. And you're going to have to learn how to drive the chariot." In fact, it's the climax of the whole movie, is the chariot race. And this is what he said to the director. He said, "I think I can learn, but I don't think I can win." In fact, he ended up breaking his arm learning how to do it, by the way. "I think I can learn, but I don't think I can win." And the director said, "You stay in the race, and I'll see to it that you win." The Christ follower says, "Man, I don't know if I can pull this off." And God says, "It's okay. You stay in the race, and I'll help you win." The third word of encouragement of strength is that all were commended through their faith. That if you put your faith in Christ, there's a huge commendation from God. You want to know how you can be in that relationship with God? It's not by your works, by the way. It's by God's grace. Look at verse 38. What an amazing phrase. Of whom the world was not worthy. That means that when they get to heaven, I mean, there is a standing ovation. The world did not treat them with value. The world did not embrace them with love and honors. They were the scum of the earth. But when they got to heaven, they were the kings and queens of the kingdom of Jesus. You know, Romans 8:18, the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. The decision to follow Christ is not based on an immediate release from your problems. If you are coming to Christ today because you want all your problems to go away, please do not do that. John 20:29 says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You might not see any tangible, physical benefits in coming to Christ, but yet you still believe. That's what a Christian does, because Christ is worthy of putting your faith in. There's a parable that Jesus taught, the parable of the four soils, and the farmer throws the seed out into the land, and it some lands on the hard path and the birds take it away, and some lands in the rocky soil and there's a little bit of growth, but then it dies, and some lands in the weeds and the thorns and a little bit of growth and then it dies, and some lands in good soil and there's a great harvest. Now look closely at the description of the rocky soil. It's those who receive the word with joy. And then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of his word, they fall away. If you are accepting Christ because you want ease of life, Christianity will not give you necessarily ease of life. Taking a stand for Christ might even get more opposition than you've ever had in your life. Of whom the world was not worthy. And God will see it, and God will honor you, and God will bless you. I've messed up the slides here, so just be patient with me. I'm going to share a quote from Julius Palmer, who was burned at the stake in England in 1556. We shall not end our lives in the fire, but make a change for a better life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, before he was hung in Germany, Nazi Germany, in 1945 for his Christianity. If you haven't studied Dietrich Bonhoeffer's life, you really need to spend some time with him, because he was a pastor in Germany and he is able to escape Nazi Germany and he was able to be comfortable in America. And then he chose to go back to Germany because he had abandoned his call of what God wanted him to do. And he goes back to Germany and he's arrested. And this is what he said. This is the end for me, the beginning of life. So let me share with you the last point of strength for these people. They saw some of the miracle deliverances, and some, because of their faith, saw the future of heaven. And some saw that they would be commended by God for their faith. But the fourth one is probably the most powerful for me. All of them saw their purpose was to help future generations. In Matthew 5:12, it says, For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We are not alone. And then it says in the Hebrews 11:40, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Now, this does not mean earning your way to heaven. The word perfect there means to be complete or to have fullness. The Message paraphrase says it like this. Their lives of faith are not complete apart from ours. We are linked together. We are linked together. Deuteronomy 32:7 says, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Our commitment at South Hills Church is to be a church of four generations. That all four generations, my mom's generation, my kids' generation, and their kids' generation, that all four generations will have a place of encouragement and worship. We will not divide up and separate. We will value each other and we will value one another. The old generation will not look down at the young generation. We are very excited about the middle school band being up here. We want to affirm their walk with Christ and do what we can to encourage them. If their music style or their way is a little different, affirm them and say, man, go for it. You're following Jesus. And then we want our youth to look at the older generation and say, man, I value you. You've been around this planet such a long time. But I value you because you have gone before and you have been faithful followers of Christ. A Christian prisoner in Cuba was asked to sign a statement, charges against Christianity. And he said this to his guard, "The chain keeps me from signing this." And the guard said, "What chains? You're not in chains." And he said, "I am in chain. I am bound by the chain of witnesses who throughout the centuries have given their lives for Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
And I will not break this chain. My generation will not break this chain. The generation to come will not break this chain. I am a link in this chain of Christianity. And there are people that have gone before me and they have given their lives for me to know the truth of God's word, for me to worship safely in the United States, for me to be here as a pastor in freedom. There have been people that have given their lives so I can be here. And there are people that are coming behind me and they need to know the strength of Christianity. And I will not let them down. I am a link in this chain." So where are you in your Christianity? Where are you? If you're a non-Christian here today, I want to tell you, come to Jesus. And you go, "Well, what would I do that for?" Oh, my goodness. Your sins will be forgiven. The guilt of your past will be washed away. You are given by His grace the gift of eternal life. You come into a relationship with the God of gods, the King of kings, and He will love you and He will embrace you and He will keep you forever and ever. And He is worthy to give your life for. Just ask yourself this question. If you are hesitating at all and you've heard this talk this morning, you have to ask yourself, why would so many thousands upon thousands, 160 some thousand Christians a year are being martyred for Christ? Why would they do that unless it was worth it? If you're a non-Christian here today, I challenge you, take a step of faith and your life will be turned upside down. But let me tell you, you've been upside down all your life. You're going to be turned upside right. And you will never be sorry. The Christ followers that are here in this room, my prayer is that your faith got bumped up a notch. That your awareness of what it means to be a Christ follower got bumped up. That your boldness, that your willingness to have courage, your willingness to step out and not be afraid of what people would say and not be afraid of what might happen to you at work or wherever it is. And maybe somebody might not want you around anymore. Maybe they'll let you go at work because you're too strong of a Christ follower. I don't know what will happen, but are you willing to say, "I'm willing to be part of that group of people that take their faith in Christ seriously"? There was one quote that I jumped past very quickly, and I just want to end with it. It's by Tom White, who spent 17 months in a prison in Cuba, and this is what he said. "Suffering is not the worst thing that can happen to us. Disobedience to God is the worst thing." Father in heaven, I ask you to empower us with courage. You have promised that the Holy Spirit will give us words to say at the time when we need them. You've promised us that if we put on the armor of God, that the flaming missiles of the evil one will not harm us. And so, Lord God, we know that the one that is in us is greater than the one that is in the world. We know that we're on the winning side. We're with the victorious King of Kings, that all of those that are in Christ conquer. And so, Lord Jesus, help us to leave this place with a great sense of victory and a new sense of boldness. Lord, if there's someone here that does not know Jesus, I pray your Holy Spirit would draw them. Not the promise of comfort and not the promise of their problems going away, but the reality of knowing Jesus, the good shepherd, the great shepherd who gave his life for them. I pray, Lord, they would come to Christ today. No longer hesitate. If there's been people that have been coming to our church for years and they thought they were Christians, but they took their faith lightly, Lord, I pray that you would help them to fully dedicate and surrender to you today. May this church be more bold than ever, more courageous than ever, more clear than ever about our Christianity. That if the world is against us, that we'll still stand strong. In Jesus' name we pray.